from every situation. And he's going to use your experiences, your mess, and he's going to make it into his message, and you're going to help people.
Truth, live from the booth, always beats 100 proof. She's bringing to you words of encouragement with the funny twist to feed your soul like it's nourishment. While you're listening, I hope you catch a feeling, cause Tina talks truth about hope, truth, and healing. So I hope you tuning in to the radio. Tina talks truth, it's the only way to go.
Good morning. This is Tina Levine with Tina Talks Truth Radio Show. And I am so blessed that you are here and you're listening and you're sharing Tina Talks Truth Radio Show with the world. I really appreciate all of you. I appreciate your messages and your text messages and your emails asking for prayers. And I am on it, okay? I am on it. So thank you. And keep sharing Tina Talks Truth Radio Show with everyone. Once again, I want to thank Idioms for the introduction song and thank 1GM Nation Radio for featuring Tina Talks Truth Radio Show every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Wow, it's been an exciting week. It's been an exciting month, especially the last few days have been really exciting. And this is Wednesday, so you're almost there. You're almost to the weekend. It's just going to get better from here, so keep the faith. I want to start off with prayer. Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for breath. We thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity to shine your light, that we can actually stand in the shadow of the cross and just glorify you, God, and everything that you've done for us. And just every day, you give us mercy. And I'm so grateful, Lord, for your unconditional love and the mercies that you just bestow on us every day. And Lord, I lift up my dear friend Jody and her family in this time of loss. They lost their father, and Ron was just such a pillar of strength, and he was like a saint, God, and I know that he's up there in heaven right now, and I just lift up that whole family, and we're going to miss you, Ron. What a special, special man, and I lift up all the mission team from our church, Harborside Christian Church, that's in Nicaragua right now, doing wonderful, wonderful works and being the hands and feet of Christ, and I lift all of them up, and Lord, just protect them, form a hedge of protection around them as they help these people in the villages teach your word. And Lord, I lift up my friend Leanne, who has cancer. And Lord, I ask for complete healing upon her body, and that you just keep her strong during this time, and that she spends every minute she can with her little girl and her husband. And God, I ask for anyone that is struggling with a medical condition right now, that you just bestow complete healing on their bodies, and any kind of medical prayer, any unspoken prayer out there that my listeners have, God, I just lift those up to you. And I ask also that you mend broken hearts, Lord, especially during this hurricane, and just restore and redeem, and more than that, just reconstruct anything that people have lost. We just ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we have a special surprise guest on Tina Talks Truth. And I know as soon as I introduce him and you hear his sweet British accent, you're gonna know who it is. So with the whole Hurricane Harvey, and it was really heavy on my heart in church on Sunday with my husband next to me, and I'm holding his hand, and it was an incredible sermon, and the worship was just on point, and it was just, the Holy Spirit was moving. It was just heavy on my heart with this whole hurricane and how God has given us hope even when there's despair or destruction. And he not only restores us and redeems us and reconstructs us, but he gives us hope daily along with those mercies. So my special guest this morning is my husband, Warren Levine, and God put it on my heart to ask him. He was a little reluctant at first, but people, he has to live with me, so he doesn't have much of a choice, you know? So, honey, do you want to say hello?
Good morning.
Do you want to share anything else?
It was a beautiful Wednesday morning.
Yes, it is. It is a beautiful Wednesday morning. Okay, so the topic is hope after despair or destruction. Can you relate to any of that?
Yes, I think we go through a lot of storms and they're not always easy to go through. I certainly remember going through some where I try to take control rather than allow God's will to lead me.
Okay, so what the guests may not know is that my husband was born in
Brighton, England.
Okay, and his favorite color is
blue. Chelsea blue. Chelsea Football Club blue.
I knew he was going to say that. Plug in his favorite soccer team.
Absolutely.
True Englishman right there, people.
Runs in the blood.
So we're talking about hope after despair. And if you could just share with the audience that you weren't brought up in a church-going Christian home.
No, but, you know, I was born into a Jewish family. So we did go to synagogue and did do Sunday school. And I had a great child upbringing.
You actually went to a Catholic school.
Well, I did. Right? I went to a Catholic high school, my high school years. But that was only because it was a fantastic school. You know, my mum actually worked there and my sisters followed me there as well. So, you know, it was a good school. And just like here, you know, you want to send your kids to the best educational place you can. I did go to a Catholic school. I was the percentage of non-Christian or Catholic students that went to that school. I remember we didn't have to go to mass or service in the morning. We sat in a classroom and was supervised.
So did you get a scholarship because you were a minority or?
No, it was a public school.
Oh, it was, but it was
absolutely
Catholic.
It was a Catholic public
in
school.
In England?
Yes.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, it was in, the facilities was in an old nunnery. So it was a very big buildings. They turned into a school, had a big flint wall around it. It wasn't anything that you can imagine over here, I don't think. So campus was more like a college campus.
Was it confusing being brought up in a Jewish family and then going to a Catholic school?
Not really, because I believe in my high school years, I'd already started drifting from my Jewish faith. I think like teens, we struggle with questions that aren't always answered, and it can definitely change the direction that we go in life. And like I said, as being brought up in Judaism, you know, good family, close-knit family, everyone going to the synagogue, definitely doing the Jewish holidays and understanding them, and not the rituals, but the traditional ceremonies that each Jewish holiday brought. I understood a lot about the faith and I understood a lot about God. Very much Old Testament, obviously. I knew the stories of Moses and Noah and a lot of the stories of Joseph. I still had questions. Still had questions of, couldn't understand why God allowed bad things to happen.
It's kind of like this Hurricane Harvey.
Absolutely, because storms come in people's lives, and I'm sure the first thing some people ask is, well, why did God allow that to happen? Mm. You know, people lose loved ones. Sometimes tragedies happen with young children, and I'm sure the question is asked. Anger and sadness and despair and probably the not understanding, loss of a life. Or why would that person have to die? What did they ever do? They were such a great person, such a beautiful child with so much potential. I don't understand why they had to die. You know, you have a lot of questions and mixed feelings and grief that's thrown in that can definitely change people's ideas.
So you actually went to, I remember you sharing with me that you actually went to a rabbi and asked some of these questions. And what was his reaction?
Well, you have to remember, I believe the Jewish faith is very traditional and very strict. And as a child, as seen as a young child, you know, I was only in my teens, going to a senior figure within the synagogue, like as in the rabbi, and asking, well, how come God allows children to die in bad ways? Don't think that a loving God would do that. In his eyes, I was defiant and questioning, and you don't do that, or you didn't do that in the Jewish faith. You don't question God back then. So the response was, you know, who are you? How dare you question God's love and power? It really wasn't answered in a question. And at that point, I was a little disenchanted and decided I really didn't want to follow with the lack of understanding and knowledge and guidance or answers I'd asked that I hadn't received. So it really led me into a non-belief atheism situation.
What I think is pretty remarkable remarkable is knowing my testimony now and going through my friend's murder at 7 years old, I had a lot of the same questions, but I didn't have the courage to like ask anyone of authority, you know, or especially a reverend or a pastor, of why did that happen to my friend? Why was she murdered? And so I think it's so interesting that over 3,000 miles away in a different country, England's 3,000.
From Ohio to England.
Is
it? Did you check that out, honey?
Can you Google it?
No.
Yeah.
Okay, well.
8 hours flight.
I'm not a geo.
No. It's a long way. Let's just leave it at that.
Okay, yeah, it's a long ways. It is not just across the pond, people. Let me just tell you that. When they say about crossing the pond, no, it's not a pond. First of all, it's Atlantic Ocean.
It would be a long row, wouldn't it?
It would be a long row in a boat. That's right. I think it's just pretty remarkable that you were on the same path as I was, but we were thousands of miles away from one another and didn't know each other at all. So you're in England and you're having these questions. I'm in Ohio and I'm having these questions, and it sounds like we kind of made God irrelevant about the same time. And so it's pretty wild that our testimonies were kind of parallel at that point. You actually were a singer and dancer, and you were on the cruise ships. You were on the cruise ships, what, 10 years?
On and off for 10 years, professionally okay. performing it.
And I was in social work, and I was burned out. And so I was like, I should go work on a cruise ship. Because uh-huh. that's what every social worker does. So I go and I work on a cruise ship. I had a 2-week contract and I came back home to my parents' house and you know, okay, I think I like this. I think I want to do the 6-month contract. While in England, Warren was supposed to go on a different ship. Mm-hmm. And I was supposed to go on a different ship. I actually had an interview with another company and the video interview didn't work out. And so the other cruise line that I was with before hired me back. Well, God had a plan, and we both ended up on the same cruise ship.
This was my last cruise.
It was your last cruise.
I was planning on this being my last Shiraz.
And you weren't going to get involved with in a relationship. I remember you saying.
Absolutely.
Especially to an American girl.
Just didn't believe in cruise ship relationships ever working out. So.
I understand.
And I was an atheist as well.
You're an atheist. And I was agnostic. I believed in God because I was sober, had 3 years of sobriety. I believed in a higher power. I believed there was a God. I didn't understand Jesus. I didn't understand Easter. I remember questioning family members. Like, why do we celebrate Easter? I really, truly didn't understand. And I needed someone just to explain it to me. So I go and I work on this cruise ship. I meet you. It wasn't love at first sight, was it, honey? I was totally opposite anyone you ever dated.
I believe the reason we are still together and married for 14 years.
I think you're correct. Wait, hold on. 2003, this is 2017. Yes! 14 years, almost 15.
So I believe the reason it's worked, I believe the compatibility is for 3 reasons. One, I believe God absolutely had a plan long before we actually thought about the fact that was it God-driven, which I believe it was. Mm-hmm. 2, I think we were friends for quite a while, you know, and good friends before anything else. That sounds terrible.
It took like 3 months for you to kiss me.
Okay.
So he was very respectful. That's all I'll tell you guys is he was very respectful. And I was not used to being respected like that. And we were like best friends. We were best friends. And
when we got off the cruise ship, we had a long distance relationship for 2 years.
You're better at this than I am. Yeah, I think it was 2 years. Yeah, year and a half, I think. Yeah.
Yeah,
and then we decided to get married. So, okay, so, you know, get off the cruise ship. I got off in July 2001. You got off September 11th, 2001, actually.
Absolutely.
So you go back to England, then you come over to Ohio. And so I'm saved. I have some friends. They invite me to church. I go to a Baptist church, not just a regular church, to a Baptist church. And I get saved.
When did you get saved?
In late 2001.
Okay, so literally just after you got off the cruise ship.
Yeah, I started going to First Baptist Church, yeah.
Now, I remember when I came over in 2003.
Welcome to America, I'm a Baptist!
No. I remember when I came over in 2003, out of respect for you, came to church with you. I remember that.
It took 2 weeks. I am not going.
Well, you have to look at it from an atheist position.
Oh, I understand. An atheist Jew. You didn't want anything to do with that. So I took you to this First Baptist Church and you met Pastor Roger. Hi, Pastor Roger. We love you. We miss you. And I said, this is my pastor, and we're going to go through premarital counseling with him. And
premarital counseling. That was an absolute new thing. Never heard of that.
Yeah, especially in a church.
In England, you only go to counseling if you have issues. You certainly don't go to counseling before you get married. If you've got issues before you get married, then maybe you shouldn't get married. So premarital counseling, what was that about?
We have been in marriage counseling for 15 years, and we've only been married 14 people.
That is true, isn't it? Actually, yeah.
Okay, so you meet the pastor, and how do you introduce yourself?
Well, I was defensive, I think, as most non-believers are. I think they're fearful, so they're defensive, and oh, God bless his soul, Roger introduced himself, said, hey, I'm a pastor here at the church, and I said, hi, I'm Warren Levine, I'm an atheist, and I don't want to hear any of your beep. Which
about Jesus?
I didn't want to hear anything to do with faith, God, or any of that stuff.
Yeah, you were a little angry.
I'm working on that still. But
at least you're a happy believer. I'm angry now.
I believe, and as I told my family, I truly believe that even a little faith, even if it's as small as a mustard seed. Mm-hmm. Which, like, Jesus says, if you have the Matthew 17:20, if you have as little faith as a mustard seed, then you can move any mountain, ask any mountain to move, mm-hmm. and it'll move. I believe that even a little faith is better than no faith. Because at least you've got somewhere to go with a little faith. You know, it can grow.
Absolutely. And
it really comes down to a personal...
relationship.
Yeah, it's a very...
process.
Personal process with the person and God. And not to say that there wasn't great influences in my life that I looked at and went, man, how come they are so calm and at peace and happy? You know, absolutely, God used you to save me. I totally believe that. But I look at the influences in Roger and Bob.
Mm-hmm.
Bob with his guitar with the footprints on, and how they used to rock it out on a Sunday. And I used to think, we've got drums, electric guitars, in a church, what's all that about? Because, you'd never have that in a synagogue.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe nowadays, I don't know, but certainly not back in my day.
Mm-hmm.
And, their warmth and their acceptance of me as a person, not because how much faith I had, if any.
They loved you where you were at.
Absolutely. And I believe that's what Christianity is about.
Yes.
It's not easy, but it's definitely, he gives us grace and forgiveness and hope. So aren't we meant to try and be Christ-like? I look at it like that. So, they showed me kindness and love,
mm-hmm.
and belief in myself as well.
Absolutely.
Belief in what God can do through people, I think.
Do you remember the first biblical scripture that was introduced to you?
Jeremiah 29:11.
Yes, I love Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you,
says the Lord.
Yes.
Plans of good to prosper.
And hope.
And
not disaster. That saved my life.
It encouraged me too.
It was just so special. 2 Samuel 22:2, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. And understanding the whole process of Jesus dying on the cross for us, for our salvation.
And believing it as well.
And just believing that, and that God was there. I turned, I don't know about you, and I think you can relate, I turned my back so many times on God, and I thought he was punishing me most of my life. So to understand that he was there with me, and that he loved me, and he actually kept me alive. Because I put myself in a lot of situations where I could have died. But he kept me alive for a reason. Our faith just kind of grew and grew and grew. And it's still growing.
It's still growing.
Absolutely.
Faith always grows.
Absolutely. And let's talk about a little bit of hope after despair or destruction. So if somebody is in despair right now, or maybe they just feel like everything has fallen apart, and where's the hope? What would you suggest to those people?
Definitely stop. And pray about it. Stop and pray about it. Get on your knees. Do whatever. Find the time and a quiet place. And prayer is everything. If you don't ask, then you don't receive, I believe. Also, it's real easy to not pray when everything's great. People really forget to give him the glory and the thanks.
Mm, praising him in the storm.
Praising him in the storm. Blessed be your name in the good times and the bad times. I mean, prayer's good all the time, in good times and in bad times. But in bad times, I think, is even more need in prayer. I think people pray for people as well.
Mm.
So a group of people praying is a strong thing as well. But we have to remember that God doesn't lead us to something that he doesn't lead us through either.
Mm-hmm.
I can do all things through Christ mm-hmm. who strengthens me. It doesn't say I can do all things because he strengthens me. It says with Christ I can do all things and he strengthens me. I think it's very easy. I don't say people, but I think it's very easy to get so lost and crazy in this busy world and your schedules. You can sometimes forget to have that relationship with, you know, your Lord and Savior, your Father, every day in all situations. He's like there waving at you, being like, I'm here, but you know, it's like a little like a teenager or a preteen when they don't want to spend time with you, but you want to be there, like interested in what they're doing. And they only really sometimes spend time with you when they're not so caught up in their own lives that they acknowledge you.
Like, I dropped our son off in middle school ministry and he just took off running. And I just stood there like, where's my hug?
Right.
You know, and I think God feels like that sometimes. Yeah. Like, wait a minute, you know? Yeah. Also, I just want to share with people that my dad always says, God loves to hear strange voices. So, you know, pray. Just talk to him. I pray 3 times a day. I pray in the morning, at night, and all day. I literally have a conversation with him
and
all day.
Some people have special times where they have
devotional
time, mm-hmm. quiet time for the Lord. Me personally, I talk to him throughout the day. I don't have a set time because I just find myself listening to music, singing along with praise and worship music, and talking to him throughout the day with my job and whatever I might be doing. So, I mean, so when you talk about despair, how to get through despair, how to get through tragedy, definitely pray about it. Do not try and walk alone, make choices on your own. Get guidance from people. Mostly trust and lean on the Lord that he will give you strength.
And he'll provide. He always provides.
Absolutely.
Always, always provides. Sometimes he likes to wait to the last minute and you're like, okay, is he going to pull through?
And again, it's his timing, not ours, yes. Correct?
Oh my goodness, yeah. There, we've had quite a few moments where it was like, okay, God, you got 24 hours. Yeah, pull this one through. And he does. And he pulls it through. And we're so grateful and we just praise him for that and just glorify him for everything that we've been through. We've been through some really despairing, is that a word, despairing? Destruction. We've been through some
lots
of pain.
Lots of lows. We've had great highs. We've had lots of
absolutely,
lows.
Absolutely,
well.
Yes.
And just because you're, this is another thing as well that I realize from growing in my faith, is that just because you start having a relationship, giving your life to the Lord, being baptized, accepting Christ, you know, glorifying him, living each day to be a better person, being Christ-like, it doesn't mean that the storms don't come.
No.
It doesn't. I think people, that's something that I think as a new believer, I was like, well, hang on a minute. You know, I accepted you, Lord. Why is all this stuff still happening? You know, that's what I want to share with anyone who is new in their faith, struggling, that it's his timing. If you truly believe in him, he's going to come through. But it'll be his time and not yours, because he has the ultimate power and you really don't. So the submitting to him is what he is important and what he wants to see, I believe.
Absolutely. And Mark 9:24 says, I do believe, help me overcome my unbelief. And, you know, it's believing in him and believing that he's going to carry us through, but also trusting that his plan is much better. Think about it. You know, we wanted 10 children when we met. Thank you, God.
We wanted to be parents, for sure.
We wanted at least 10 children, too. Yeah, we both loved children, and we struggled with infertility for 3 years, and then we lost a baby, and it was our son's twin. And I had to go through a life-saving surgery with that situation, but we got our son out of it.
Absolutely. And you know what is even more amazing about that whole story, if you remember, is that we tried, like you said, for 3 years to have our own biological child. And then when we truly like prayed and thought about it, the message we got was, well, hang on a minute, I have a child for you. So remember, we went down the foster to adopt situation.
November 4th, 2004. is when we went, yeah, we found out that artificial insemination didn't work. We didn't get pregnant after all the medications and everything. And so we went and we actually registered to be licensed foster and adoptive parents. And we did the 30 hours training in Ohio. And we just put it in God's hands and said, God, it's up to you. Remember, we decorated a nursery. We had everything. We had clothes up in the closet, everything.
Very neutral colors.
We were ready for whatever child that God was going to give us. And
I truly believe, if you think about this, I truly believe that when he saw our
obedience
and patience and faith to give it all to him, that's when he said, okay, boom. And then Victor arrived, which was fantastic.
Yes, he's such a blessing.
And through that, we also fostered for 2 years as well. So, I mean, like, he had a plan. Definitely.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, he had a plan. One of the things I always share is, because people ask, how did you get from Ohio down to Florida? And we would come down and we would vacation numerous times. And every time we'd come down, I would actually apply to jobs. But Warren wouldn't know that. Because I wanted to move down here so much. I loved the sunshine. And plus, your parents were here half the year. And so here we're traveling back up to freezing cold Ohio in January 2009, and we're going through the cold, cold, icy mountains of West Virginia. I remember I looked at you and I said, what is it going to take for us to move to Florida? And you said, three reasons why we can't.
Yeah, three reasons why we're not moving to Florida. Absolutely not. One, we've got a house. Two, I've got a job. And three, we've got a dog, and none of that is changing any of that. We're not putting the dog through a move. We just literally had a house. Not much more than a year or two.
Dream house. And we loved it.
And, you know, I've been working at my job for months, 6 years, even.
Yeah.
6 years. Yeah.
Yeah.
About
yeah.
Five or six years.
5 or 6 years.
I was like, why would I do that? And so, no, we're not moving. Absolutely not.
So we get up to Ohio, and
within a month, unfortunately, I lost my job.
The dog died unexpectedly.
Died very unexpectedly. 6 years old. In, like, less than a week. That was terrible.
It was horrible. We lost our house. And I got a job in Florida.
And you got one of the jobs you never told me about applying for. Because that's right. You said, well, if I get a job down there, can we go? And I said, I thought, how is she going to possibly... No, I said, yeah. Because in my mind, I was thinking, how is she going to get a job in Florida? She's not going for an interview down there. We don't have the money for that. So she's never going to get a job without an interview.
Well, God worked that one out.
Yes, he did.
And so when we speak our fears and we speak reasons why, okay, it's not going to happen. And it's not, no, God, this is not going to happen. And then God's like, you know what? I'm going to take care of it. And he did heal our hearts. We have an incredible dog now. Not that any dog could replace our dog, Saint, but Hank is pretty close.
He's a bouncer.
Very special and loving. And we did. We lost our house. We lost everything. We moved down here to Florida. Remember, you were struggling getting a job down here. And Victor was 3 years old. And we got our van repoed. And I tell you, people, we were just sitting there in our apartment and didn't realize how expensive it was down here. And I remember we didn't have much food. And there was a knock at the door. Do you remember? And it was a huge fruit basket. And it was from our church family, our Sunday school class in Ohio.
Oh, wow.
Rob and all of them. And that was just so special. You know, it's like God gave us these little winks. Like, I'm here. I'm going to take care of you. You're not going to starve to death. You'll always be taken care of. And God has done that numerous times.
Not to mention that summer you were working, you know, like you said, Victor was really young, 3 years old. That was the summer he learned to swim. I got to spend all that time with him.
Yes.
And he got to swim and maybe that was God's plan, you know?
Oh, absolutely. And even though there's disaster and there's, you know, things that happen in life that we think are horrible or bad or oh, I just can't imagine getting through this, God's always there. What I love, and I can relax and I can actually feel comforted in, is that God has a masterpiece. He has a master plan. And no matter where you are, he knows already the steps. He knows the plan. And he wants the best for you. And that's just what I feel like I need to encourage people right now, is no matter what you've been through. I mean, we have been stripped of everything materialistically twice now, right?
Absolutely.
Really, you three times, because you left everything in England to come to Ohio to marry this Midwesterner. So.
And yet, you say left everything, but I look at it more now. And I still have that back in England, still have family and good friends back in England.
Oh, absolutely.
But look what I gained.
Oh.
Incredible. All God's plan. All God's plan. All God's power. All God's miracle.
And me.
And you. You're the biggest gift he gave me, so there you go.
So, you're so sweet. Aww.
I mean, like, you think about it, it's like Adam, God took Adam's rib and made Eve, so he had a partner. Well, every good marriage needs a good partner within that marriage. It's equal balance in God's gifts, no matter what he gives you. I think I want to give hope to people that don't believe in themselves as well, that, you know, he doesn't just waste a human being. Mm-mm. He doesn't make someone worthless. He doesn't make someone useless. I mean, there's probably people out there that are despairing and low self-esteem that think, what do I have to give? I don't have any talents. That's not true. They do. They just haven't discovered those God-given talents that he gave them, and they're not using them.
Yeah, God doesn't make junk.
Right. Is junk a word?
Junk, yeah.
Rubbish?
Rubbish, yes.
God doesn't make rubbish.
God doesn't make rubbish,
that's
people.
Correct. He doesn't, right?
No, he doesn't. And you're treasured and you're cherished in God. He knows every hair on your head. You know, Amanda, a couple weeks ago in her interview, and that's what she, you know, stated was, you know, God knows every hair on your head and he knows every desire of your heart. And he wants to fulfill that. He wants to love you to life.
But he needs you to reach out and actually ask for that and pray for that and grasp that.
And if you're struggling right now with anger or pain or hurt, you know, those are all just distractions. And the devil wants to distract you. And the devil wants to just get you off course and get you off path. Because if you're more focused on anger and pain and hurt, then you're not glorifying God and you're not focusing on God and his plan.
As you know, though, I struggle with anger and I struggle with depression sometimes and anxiety, and I try not to focus on it. And I think it's important that people do feel like that. They don't feel like they can control that all the time. So what I would say is, when you have those feelings, which are real and are true feelings, it's not a case of maybe not focusing off those, but I think it's focusing on God and asking him, hey, Lord, please help me with my anger. Hey, Lord, please help me with my depression. Lord, show me, lift me up, show me where you want me to be. That's from someone who suffers and struggles. You know, that's another thing as well. Christianity does take away these things and with a puff of smoke, like a magician abracadabra. Some people struggle with them long term and have their highs and their lows and their hills and their valleys.
One of the things I love that Amanda shared a couple of weeks ago was that God can use her more broken than he can whole. And that's why, you know, when she struggles daily with depression and anxiety. And that's what she says is, you know, God can use me broken way more than he can whole.
Oh my gosh, absolutely. I mean, can you imagine how much you learn from all the struggles that you go through that might hurt you, break you? He won't allow them to break you to the point of no return. I don't believe that. I believe it. And this is something else I've learned as well. People do pass. It's part of life. But he doesn't take someone until they have fulfilled their use here or their time here on earth. And he probably needs them up there as well, you know. So that's truly what I believe.
Yeah, he's going to take care of them. And what I love with this whole Hurricane Harvey, I don't love hurricane. I don't love that this disaster happened. What I love is tragedy brings people together.
Absolutely.
And you see people helping one another. There are so many miracles that are coming out of this disaster. And that's truly God's work. And that God saved people. And that God is changing people's lives right then and there. It's just remarkable to see how many people are helping other people.
And that's one thing I love about this country. America truly comes together in times of need in areas. I mean, you can feel the country just being there. People coming in from different states to help the people in Texas. The whole country, the charities, the giving that is going on across the country. That truly is a warmth and prayer lifting up people. That's, you know, it's what this country is built on.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the word says that when there's two or three gathered, that God is present.
So can you imagine when there's millions and millions gathered, trying to help others. I mean, that's the greatest thing. That's almost like what faith is about, to help others. You know, God and Jesus helped others.
To be God in the flesh. One of the things I always pray with Victor when I take him to school is, you know, that God sends his angels to protect him in his school, but also that when the other kids see Victor, that they don't just see Victor, that they see God. And they say, wow, I really, you know, that boy, he is just a light. He is just love. He's kindness. And I want them to see Victor and say, I want what he has. What a great introduction. And I remember Victor saying that one time. Well, let me introduce you to my friend Jesus. And he, because he truly has a heart of gold and he loves people and he cares about people.
You remember when he used to sing when he was like two or three? In the car, I used to sing "This Little Light of Mine."
Oh yeah, I sang that every day. I was pregnant with him, and he does. He has that light, and I just pray that he ignites that light, and that light stays lit, and he doesn't let anyone to blow that light out. Okay, so I always ask all my guests, and since Warren Levine is my guest today, what brings you hope?
God, definitely God, and His will for me in this world, that He leads me where he wants me to go, not what I think I should be doing and what I want to do.
How about joy? Where do you find joy?
In you, honey.
Oh, no, my name's Tina, not Joy. Oh, that's so sweet.
What brings me joy?
Oh, it wasn't me? Oh.
Definitely family. I think what brings me joy is you and Victor being able to help others and being able to give God the glory and see other people accepting him or a miracle happen in their life. Their lives that is God related. That's joyous when you can definitely see all that and do all those things.
How important is laughter to you?
Depends how good the joke is.
If you get it or not, right? Let me tell you, people.
American humor.
British humor is very
American
different.
Humor.
British humor is... I actually grew up with British humor. I love British humor.
Can I tell them one of my favorite jokes that you gave me?
Oh, no, what?
Remember when you tell people you pray to God to bring you a good, faithful husband and he brought you an atheist Jew?
It's true.
It's true, but it's funny as well, you
yes,
know?
Yeah. God definitely had a plan for you and definitely had a plan for me. And yeah, and laughter, I definitely think, is a huge part of our marriage. As well as our relationship. But we don't laugh as much as people think we do, you know? I know when I would do comedy shows and they would always say to you, oh, I bet you she has you cracking up all the time. And you're like...
She's not funny.
No.
You're not funny from the peanut gallery.
Yeah.
I got thrown out quite a few of your first motivational gigs, didn't I?
They were very critical of me.
They thought I was a protester, I'm sure. No. What brings me joy? Definitely... children.
And laughter.
I think whether it be joy, happiness, or laughter, I get that through seeing young children and young youth just having fun.
Mm-hmm.
And also learning about the Lord and singing worship to him. Probably the ultimate for me is listening to my son sing along in the car to praise and worship.
Love it.
That's the ultimate for me.
Love it. Oh, I just love it when he sings and he's so into it. I don't know where he gets it from.
It comes from his heart, so it's awesome to see that.
Indeed.
Bring you to tears, all right?
Yes. How about healing? How does one know they are healing?
Again, you have good days and bad days whenever you have some sickness, hurt, habit, addiction, depression, grief. How do you know you're healing? Good days and bad days, but I think gradually through just talking to God that you find a peace and a calmness that starts to come over you where any of that stuff is just lifted. It really is different to the stress and the anxiety and the sadness and the all the other things that you might feel through the hurting or any kind of sickness or any kind of illness, addiction. That's something that God takes and he lifts you and you start feeling good and you start feeling the peace and the calm.
It's like the rainbow after a storm.
Absolutely. And you know, it's interesting because when I truly breathe and pray and lay it down and say, God, take this from me, I feel so much more at peace. I don't worry about, what happens if the Lord takes me and I leave Victor and Tina? He's going to take me when he wants me to go. Am I fearful of that? No, because that's something else truly faith has given me. It's given me a calmness. It's given me more of a positive outlook on life, but it's given me a peace of that when My time comes, whenever that may be, it will be his timing, not mine, and I will be at peace with that, and you and Victor will be taken care of by him. Those things are so important to me in my faith.
Mm-hmm.
I used to be a real, like, Debbie Downer, negative Nelly, and definitely faith has definitely made that a lot better.
Yes. Yeah, definitely.
A lot more positive.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, yes. Having that attitude of gratitude makes all the difference.
In England, they'd say, que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. That's a little bit like my faith now. Whatever he decides will be, will be.
Mm-hmm. But we still have to do the footwork.
We do do the footwork.
We don't just sit back and pick our nose.
No, we go to work every day. We try and make a difference in people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not perfect because I am a grateful and thankful follower of Christ and accepted Jesus into my heart. And no, come what may, his way is the way. His will is his will. I am just a servant. I am just a vessel of his
mm-hmm,
work.
Mm-hmm. I'm a lump of clay.
Lump of clay, mold me.
Yeah, I am a lump of clay. That's what, you know, the last 8 months since my last surgery in December and, you know, moving to North Carolina and coming back and all the, and just having to rebuild everything. I'm a lump of clay. I truly believe I am a lump of clay now. And it's just up to him to mold me and make me into his masterpiece.
Yeah, and struggles can be so exciting and new and refreshing as well, you know. It's a struggle, but it's something new. It's a new adventure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And new adventure is always exciting.
Yeah, and sometimes it could be fearful, but it's just having that faith. You can't have fear and faith. I love Joyce Meyer always says about power. You can't be pitiful and powerful. And right. It's the same. You can't have fear and faith.
And when you're reading through the Bible, how many times does it say, and Jesus says, do not be
afraid. Do not be afraid. Yeah.
So we're talking about afraid. We're talking about hope. And what does hope mean through all these tragedies, this stressful time in Texas, these disasters that come this time of year, there's another one on its way. What does hope mean? Where do we get healing from? Absolutely from the Lord. And if you believe in the Lord, you believe what he leads you to, he will lead you through. And I truly believe that in my heart. I believe that in my heart. So hope comes from people coming together in prayer, people coming together in giving, in supporting, in helping, in doing all the things that I know as a Christian man and a brother in Christ that I would do now. Whereas when I wasn't a believer and I didn't believe in God, I would probably be thinking about myself. Oh, I'm all right, Jack. I can't help you. I've got to take care of myself. And I think faith is definitely about sharing and caring, not just what's in it for me. What do I get out of it?
And I think sometimes God tests us that we may be stripped of all, you know, materialistic things and stripped of so much, but he'll test our faith and he'll test us. Do we still help others even though we don't have much? You know, I always think of the story of the widow in the Bible that she gave everything she had, which was just one coin, and God actually blessed her more than all the other people, even though they gave more money, but she gave everything she had. And I think sometimes through the tests and the trials and the tribulations, you know, God does, he tests our faith. Well, Job was a big one. I mean, look, and he blessed him triple time.
And so. You also know what? You know what, T? Is that, like, not everyone can give financially and give that money. And this disaster last week in Texas has proven that. Look at all the people that have gone there to serve and to help mm-hmm. and to rescue. And
there's
to,
so many other ways.
They not all those people are financially rich and are being able to give their money, so they're giving their time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing. It's
prayers. You can give your prayers. Prayers.
They say the power of prayer.
Yep. Praying is free, people. So we just encourage you to first and foremost go before God, ask him what he wants you to do. Laid on our hearts to do this special episode today and just encourage you to have hope after any despair or destruction or any struggle that you may be having. And I hope that we gave some people hope today. How about you?
Yeah, absolutely.
How can we pray for you?
I would ask that you don't so much pray for me, but ask to pray God to lead me to do what he wants me to do.
Absolutely. And that you have an open heart to follow him.
And to serve for him. To be the light that he wants me to be.
I just want to thank all of our family and our friends for always supporting us and being there and encouraging us at times where we just didn't want to go any further. We didn't want to take another step. You actually have helped us so much. So we thank God.
And thank God for our families as well.
Absolutely. And you know, when you do pray for direction and guidance, you then have to do the footwork. So yeah, sometimes you have to be careful what you pray for, because God will say, okay, here you go. And then you're like, oh,
absolutely. Don't pray for something you don't really want.
Exactly.
That's why it's always best to pray for God's will for you, not your will.
God's will, and for God's strength to fulfill that plan. So I just thank you all for tuning in to the Tina Talks Truth radio show here on 1GM Nation Radio every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Join us next week. We have an exciting guest, Angie Giltner, and she actually is going to be speaking about her event in Ohio for women that I'll be keynote speaking at. It's going to be super exciting.
She's fabulous, by the way.
Yes, she's great. She's so fabulous. So you want to tune in next week so you can hear Angie. And Warren Levine, thank you for being my guest.
Thank you, honey, for having me.
I love you.
I love you too.
Would you ever come back on the Tina Talks Truth radio show?
Possibly.
That's a yes. Thank you all for tuning in, and here's Victor.
This is Victor with Tina Talks Truth, and the truth is, my dad's the bomb, not the nuclear type. The truth is, there is hope.